Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. This episode features a special teaching from one of our monthly encounter nights. The focus of these nights is to experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly.
Everyone doing all right? I hope. Good. Well, tonight, if you have never been here before, this tells you a little bit about what the evening that we plan to do this evening and each month when we gather on the first Tuesday of every month. Two encounter nights are for followers of Jesus to gather in an expectant and safe atmosphere where we depart from the normal to pursue and experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, worship Jesus extravagantly, and minister to others. So we want to do some of those things tonight and just see what the Lord has for us. You know, He has great things for every single one of you. It's true. It's true, whether you believe it or not. God has great things for all of us. So why don't we pray, and I'm going to share a little bit, and then we're going to worship some. All right, Lord, thank You for this evening, for the beautiful day You prepared for us already, that we've just lived. And Lord, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You that You are here. Thank You for truth, for Your Spirit. Thank You, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit to live in us, to take up residence in this house, in our bodies, that You call Your temple. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for coming. Thank You for being here, Jesus. You said that when two or three are gathered in Your name, that You are there in the midst of us. And so there are more than two or three of us. We've gathered in Your name. We ask that You would be here, Jesus, that You would speak to each one, that You would illuminate our minds and our hearts, our spirits, fill us with Yourself to overflowing. And I ask You, Lord, for encounters with You, that we would all have individually encounters with You, that we would learn and grow and experience You and be changed and look like You more and more every day. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Father. We love You, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Someone's calling me. I'm not going to answer that one. Okay, so tonight I'm going to begin, the hope is to begin here on a two-part, this month and next month, talking some about something that's super important. It's actually vital that we have clarity in this area and that we have truth in this area so that our relationship with God is vibrant, alive, and all that God desires that to be. And so this is super important. When I've done prophetic training, I did one series on television that was 13 half-an-hour segments of this. I spent the very first two or three of those talking about this right here. It's really a beginning. It's a starting place for all of us to grow in God and grow in the Spirit and grow in the gifts that He has for us. It's what we're going to talk about now, and that is the Father. I'm going to talk about the Father some tonight. And it's so essential that we have the right view of and relationship with Him. The Father is not talked about a ton, but we're going to tonight. And for me personally, along with many times that I've shared this in groups like this, here and other places, I have watched and heard about people having encounters with God on nights like this when I talk about this, because He is ready to encounter you tonight in some ways perhaps that you haven't had before. It's such a wonderful thing. So here we go. Let me start with a question for everyone tonight, and this is a night where we are a little less formal, I would say, and so I'm going to just dive into your space. Okay, I'm just going to dive into your space. So I'm going to ask a question. When you answer it, I do ask you to answer, but not loudly. So this is a question. Go ahead and answer to yourself a little bit, because this is for you. It's not for everyone else to hear. But here's the question. In this very moment right now, 7:10 p.m., Tuesday night, sitting here in your chair, what does the Father feel about and think about you? What do you think that is? How does he feel about you right now? Not this morning, not yesterday, not on Sunday when you were in worship. What does he feel about you right now? From your heart, what do you know about his thoughts toward you? For some people, they might think, I have no idea. Other people think, he's probably not thrilled. Or he's tolerating me. Or it's a good thing Jesus came, or I'd be in deep trouble. Or any number of things. What is it that you think God thinks about you? Now, this is a super important question because I'm going to guess that most Christians on the planet don't know, or they feel that God is not real happy with them. The Father, not Jesus, but the Father is not super happy with them. That is through my experience in life as a follower of Jesus for a long time, and meeting people, talking with people, counseling with people. Most people don't have this sense or this knowing that the Father is crazy about them. And so let's talk about some of that, okay? And maybe you do know that he's crazy about you. That's the place to be. And that's the way to live, and that's the way to be free. The only way you and I, this is huge, the only way that you and I are going to fulfill our purpose on this planet and for being alive is knowing the answer to this question. This is how big it is. This is not a small thing. This is not like, you know, it'd be kind of nice to know. No. This is huge. If you don't know this, then you will, or if you think that he doesn't think much about you, or you don't know, either one of those two camps, here's what will happen. As a Christian, you will be a striver. You will try and earn something. You will be uncertain in your ministry or ministering to others because you're not sure what God thinks about me, and here I am trying to minister to someone else. So doubt and unbelief, it messes everything up if we don't have this clear. So we've got to have a stranglehold on truth and the truth about what the Father thinks about you right now. And even after you, let's say you just sinned. Maybe you came here with your spouse tonight and you were fighting on the way here. What does the Father think about you right now? Still, super important. Many people get project on God the experience they had with their natural dad of what he's like. It's a natural thing. You have a dad, you grow up with this dad, and however he was, good, bad, different, indifferent, or you felt like you had to walk on ice, thin ice all the time. You never knew how he was going to react, or maybe he was angry, maybe he was distant, maybe he was emotionally detached. Whatever that experience was, typically when we meet the Lord, and now he's called our Father, we have a new Father. Okay, well, I had a Father, and so he's probably like that one. That just kind of happens automatically on the inside of a person. They don't necessarily try to do that, but there's this projection because your natural father paints an image of what a father is, and it gets kind of projected upon the Father. And so to the degree that they don't line up, we have to dismantle that projection and get rid of that and not put on Father God things that are not true. And if we don't do that, then again, we will have a wrong perception, which leads to a wrong relationship. And we need to have a relationship that is so vibrant. Jesus said, you know, that our fellowship is with the Father and, actually John said this, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. We're to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. Do you realize you're not just supposed to have fellowship with Jesus? You're supposed to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And I'm going to say, and the Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside. One of the most beautiful things that Jesus did, that he came for, and again, this is not talked about either. In fact, I've never heard anybody else say this. I say this a lot, but is that part of his mission, a huge part of his mission, was something that is not talked about. What is talked about, which is a great part, unbelievable part, what he's done for salvation and paying for our sins, all of those things, setting us free, teaching, all the things that he's used, healing us. The part that's not usually talked about is a huge part of his mission was to reveal the Father to us. You know, he talked about the Father over 100 times in the Gospels. 100 times. The only other thing talked about as much by Jesus is the kingdom. That's another message. We'll do that later. The Father. He kept talking about the Father. Came to reveal the Father. All of the over and over and over. Jesus came to undo the perceptions of what the Father had been painted like. He came to give us a reframing of his dad. It's like the son that's been with his dad forever, and the world has this horrible misunderstanding about him. Then he gets to the earth and says, okay, everybody, everything you have thought about him is not right. Let me explain what he's really like. And Jesus does that. Who could do that better? No one. He's been with him forever. They created the universe together. Jesus knows what his dad's like. He really knows what his dad's like. And he came on mission to reveal his Father, to make his Father's name known, which is to make his nature known. When you make someone's name known in Hebrew, you are making their nature known, because their name's connected to their nature. So Jesus is saying, I want to make the nature of my Father known to everybody, of what he's really like. Have you ever thought about or asked these kind of questions? I do this kind of thing when I'm reading the Bible. I had this question, how in the world did Jesus do everything he needed to do in 3.5 years? I just turned 56. I feel like I have a whole ton to do yet. Jesus did everything in 3.5 years of ministry, the ministry side. Just incredible to me. How did he do it? And then he did it sinless. Sinless every single day for 33.5 years. How did he do that? Well, the easy answer, okay, he's God. Well, yes, but he's also 100% man, right? He's 100% God, he's 100% man, and as a man, he lived his life perfectly. So I was asking myself the question, how did he do that? That's just remarkable. How did he do that? And I feel like the Lord said, well, let me show you. So let's read Mark chapter 1, verse 10. This is the passage we all know. Jesus is walking with a few of his guys. He hasn't even called all his disciples yet. He's got a few of them following him around, and he sees his old grasshopper-eating cousin John in the water. He's baptizing. Jesus steps into the water. Says, John, I'd like you to baptize me. And John says, I need you to baptize me. He says, well, but for now, how about we do this? You baptize me in this water. So John agrees. Immediately coming up out of the water, he, Jesus, saw the heavens opening. And the Spirit, like a dove descending upon him. Now, John saw this. Jesus, I'm sure, saw this too. And a voice came out of the heavens. Here's what the voice says. An echoing over the landscape voice. You are my beloved son. You are my loved son. And in you I am well pleased. God speaks. This is the first time that we have recorded that the Father speaks since Jesus has been on the earth, out loud, verbally, audibly, for everybody else to hear. And the words he speaks are, that's my boy that I love so much. And I'm pleased with him. And the Father begins speaking to me of this is how Jesus lived his life, perfectly. He knew the answer to the question I asked you. He knew he was loved to the core. He knew his Father loved him to the core. All the way, 100%, and that he was pleased with him. The very two things that every human on the planet longs to hear from a dad. Is it not? It's the very thing every human on the planet wants to hear from a natural dad. Jesus heard it from his Father, and he wants you to hear it from his Father as well, about you. It's the secret, I'm telling you. It is a secret to living a life successfully fulfilling your purpose. If you know how much you're loved and how much you're pleasing to the Father, you can be unstoppable. A loved person is unstoppable. An unloved person is a striver, or a person that doesn't know how much they're loved is a striver. Because they want that. They need that. I'm telling you, I've met people in their 80s, 90s, who still have this ache, this thing inside of them that would love to have somehow an older person, particularly a man, a father, to throw their arm around him and tell him how much they are loved and how much he's pleased with them. That thing is built in. It's built into every person. I don't care who you are, and you can lie to me. I know it's true. Every person wants to hear that from their dad. And every person needs to hear it from the Father. And know it's true. And if you don't, you feel like you're never quite good enough. Never quite making it. Never quite, if I could just do something more, try harder, or pray more, fast more, do something more, so I can feel that and know that. And that's not the way you get it. It's not the way that you get it. The Father is amazing. And Jesus wasn't just a prophet, not just a theologian or a brave leader, powerful speaker. Above all, he was a son. It's interesting. If you asked Jesus back then, if he said, what's your name? He'd say, Son of Man. I'm a son of a man. But I'm the Son of Man, which was a title, meaning he was the Son of God. So he identified himself as a son. And then Jesus, as I mentioned, talks about the Father, how many times? 100 times. 100 times. There's a lot of names Jesus could have used. There's a whole lot of names. There are over 20 names in the Old Testament that we have for God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, right? It goes on and on. All these names of God. What's the one name that Jesus uses for his dad, Father? He sums up and gives the highest name for his dad, for God, is Father. Because that's his nature. He's a father. He's a father. Yes, he's all kind of other things that he is. But he is primarily a father. Wow. He's a father, and he's a good father. He's a great father. He's a over-the-top father. He's a loving father. It says that God, in 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. Doesn't say God has some love. God doesn't have some. He is. It's the essence of his being as a father is love. God is love. That is a revelation that will change your life. And my life, and has. I was in my 30s before I got a hold of this. And I remember it. It was when I was asking the Lord those questions about Jesus. How did he fulfill? How did he do this? And it's like this revelation that I'd never had in my whole life. Known the Lord since I was 7. Tried, lived to the best of my ability, strove. I had some religious stuff to get rid of, quite a bit. And then this revelation of who the Father is and who I am. And the highest appellation for me is son. It's not pastor. It's not anything else. It's I am his son and he is the Father. His highest name is Father and my highest name is son. And I am his and he is mine. And he loves me. Now, typically, in this figuring all of this out, people, I'm going to say, over the age of 40, typically have a more difficult time seeing God, the Father, as really loving. They will see, because of their dad's experience with their dad, different generation, fathers, if you're over 40, you're generation of fathers typically weren't as loving as the fathers are today. So if you're under 40, you're millennial and under, this may sound like, of course, all that's right. But sometimes they can have a picture of the father is like Santa Claus. Completely different, on a completely different thing that still needs some adjustment because he's not Santa Claus. But I don't want to spend too much time on that tonight. But we all have to have our perceptions changed about him. Okay. When Jesus started to explain about his father, he said, for God, speaking of his father, so loved the world. John 3:16, everyone knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Speaking in the third person. Talking about himself. For God so loved the world that he gave me, Jesus is saying, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In John 14, verse 9, Jesus reflects the Father so perfectly that he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? The Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. So Jesus is saying, if you want to know what the Father's like, just listen to what I'm saying. Watch what I'm doing. See how I'm healing. See how I'm raising from the dead. See how I'm being kind and merciful and compassionate and gracious. If you want to know what the Father's like, all you have to do is watch me because I and my Father are one. That's pretty amazing. So Jesus is explaining the Father just by living life. Jesus is reframing what the Father's like by his own preaching, his own living, his own example, the demonstration, everything that he did every day. He's saying this is what the Father's really like. And to a world at that moment steeped in tradition, and in whatever the Pharisees and the Sadducees, however they explained God and the way that they were acting as fathers, spiritual fathers, they had a warped perception of what the Father was like. And Jesus is there to undo it. He's there to take the end of that string and rip it off and watch the whole thing get undone as he reveals the Father who is love. Beautiful thing. Culminating Jesus' words was his prayer in John 17. Right before he goes to the cross, we all know this prayer also. It's an incredible passage, John chapter 17, that we have this recorded, this last prayer. Here are a few words from that, starting in 25. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has failed to recognize you, this is in the Amplified, and has never acknowledged you. So they've not known you, they've failed to recognize you, and they've never acknowledged you. I have known you. And these men, his disciples, understand and know that you have sent me. Then verse 26, spectacular verse. I have made your name and your nature known to them. I fulfilled part of this mission that you sent me on was to reveal what you're like. I've done that. I've made your name known to them. And revealed, it says in the Amplified here, your character and your very self. And I will continue to make you known. And here's why. Here's why I'm making you known. That the love, you can underline this in your Bible, that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them. Felt in their hearts, it says here. And that I myself may be in them. Jesus is saying, the whole reason I'm talking about what you really like is I want them to see you the right way so that the love that I've been living in for my 33 and a half years here as a human, that I've lived in every day and felt every day, the same love that has caused me to do miracles and to speak with anointed words and to heal and raise the dead, that same love that I've been living in, I want everybody to have. I want everybody to see you the way I see you so they can feel you the way that I feel your love for me. That is the prayer of Jesus for every single one of us. He wants us, think about this, he wants us to have the exact same experience of feeling love from his dad that he had. He wants you to experience that. That's an encounter. You feel the love of your father. That's the prayer that Jesus prayed that wants to get answered. That we would really have that encounter. And it is. It's an encounter. It's beyond a feeling. It's a knowing. But it's a presence and it's a undoing of so many wrongly wired things in your brain, in my brain. And I'm telling you what, this very thing that Jesus prayed, somehow the Apostle Paul got a hold of. Do you know that? Paul got a hold of this. He wasn't following Jesus around. He didn't hear him personally. But during his, I'm guessing, his 14 years in the Arabia, when he was down in Saudi Arabia area, my guess is he had some sort of encounter with Jesus because he shares several times. Let's read these. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Paul is sharing a revelation that Jesus touched on, that we're children of a father. And Paul says, Not only are we children, we have been adopted by this Father. There's an adoption that's taken place. I just haven't been saved, living forever. I have been brought into a family and fully adopted. Fully adopted. I am not an orphan. I don't have an orphan spirit. I have been adopted by the Father 100% because of what Jesus has done. I have a Father who loves me, and I'm now in. You ever watch these videos? I watched some this afternoon. You watch these videos of kids getting adopted, foster kids, and then they get into a foster home, and these foster parents loving on them, and then one day they say to them, I'm going to adopt you. And I mean, these kids melt their hearts. They just start weeping. They have an encounter with love from a parent. And they know from that moment, I am no longer an orphan. I'm no longer alone. I'm no longer not wanted. I am wanted, and now I am an heir. I'm an heir of the one who's adopted me. I'm loved. I'm in a safe place. I'm in a family. Part of the intention of Jesus being sent to reveal the Father is that you would receive your adoption, not just your salvation. This is a huge, big difference. You can receive salvation as an orphan. And you can live your whole life as an orphan in a sense. But to receive adoption, that's a completely different thing. Paul got a hold of this. Jesus prepared the way and talked about it. And Paul explains it. Let's read another one. Romans 8, verse 14. This is Paul. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons. Sons of God. Not just redeemed people, good folks. Folks have been forgiven. No, he's talking about position in a family. The family of God. You now have a father. Sons of God. Verse 15. For you, go ahead and say this. For I have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but I have received a spirit of adoption as sons or a daughter by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Paul shares here an experience, an encounter. A heart that cries out, Abba, Father, is not just something you say. A heart that cries out, Abba, Father, is something that has happened. And that happening causes an overflow of a cry. And you realize, like those kids in the video, I am adopted. I have a father. I am not just saved. I'm not just going to have food to eat. I'm not just going to have a place to live. I have a daddy. I've got a mommy. I am in a family. Someone possesses me. In the kingdom, that's what it is. You are called the possession purchased by Jesus. Possession of Jesus. Possession of the Father. A son and a daughter. Paul says, you receive a spirit of adoption. There's a spirit of adoption. You know, you don't want every spirit. You want the Holy Spirit and you want the spirit of adoption. Have you received, this is your second question tonight. Have you received the spirit of adoption? I didn't till I was in my mid-30s. Had no idea there was such a thing. Read the scripture 100 times, never got it. Didn't realize I needed it. Didn't realize it was something that everything we get in God, we get by faith and the invitation of God. the invitation to receive the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, everything, healing, it's you receive it by faith. Same with your adoption. You know, when that kid in the video and his parents, his almost parents, say, "We want to adopt you," they don't have to earn one thing in that moment. They just have to say, "Okay. Yes. Yes, let it be." Kind of like Mary, right? When the angel said, "This is what I'd like to see happen here. The Holy Spirit will come, hover over you, and you'll be with child." And she said, "Okay. Let it be done like you're saying." She received Jesus. See that? She received Jesus. We receive a spirit of adoption. You do it by faith. And I'm telling you what, something happens when you do. It's an encounter with the spirit of adoption, who's the Holy Spirit. And this something bubbles up on the inside of you that says, "Abba, Father, oh my goodness. Whew. I'm not just saved in because of the blood of Jesus," which is true. "I am saved and brought into a family. I've been adopted." Galatians 4, verse 6. Same guy, Paul, speaking to the Galatians. "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts," the same spirit of adoption, right? "Crying," same thing, there's a crying. This is, there's something that comes out. There's something comes out of us. You know, when you receive Jesus, Romans 10, 9, and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess it, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You receive salvation. When you receive a spirit of adoption, it's not confession that comes out, it's a cry that comes out. "Oh, Father." He says this happens again. "God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." The son gets all the benefits. It's the inheritance of the father. It's the inheritance as a son and as a daughter. You have, once you receive this adoption, you recognize I'm an heir also. I'm an heir of everything that the father has to give. I'm not lacking in anything. He's not withholding anything. The great lie that the devil told Eve, God's withholding his best, so you must act, you must strive. You must eat of something else to get what you really need because the Father isn't that good. He's withholding from you. That's the big lie. You receive a spirit of adoption, you realize, woohoo, I get everything. Everything that the Lord has purchased for me. So if you've not received it, I'm going to invite you to receive your adoption as a daughter, as a son. And what does God think about you? Back to the first question. Here's a couple of things he thinks about you. This is Old Testament. Psalm 149, verse 45. Oops, 4 and 5. I messed that one up. "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exult in glory." The Lord takes pleasure in his people. Are you his people? You're his people. He takes pleasure in you. Psalm 139, 17 through 19. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." Now this is again Old Testament. "How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God." How precious are his thoughts toward you. They outnumber the sand. You ever gone to the beach, picked up a handful of sand, and tried to count the grains? as thousands are falling in between your fingers. It's impossible to even count one handful of sand. And the Bible says here that each grain represents a single thought that God has for you, and there's more than there are sand on the planet. He's thinking about us all the time. He's thinking about you all the time. He loves you. You can confidently, because of Jesus, and because God loves you both, can receive the thoughts of God for you like Jesus received them when he came out of the water and heard, "My beloved son, my beloved daughter, the one that I'm pleased with. I'm pleased with my people. He's pleased with you." This is how the Lord feels about you. There's a lot more to talk about with this. But how about we just do this tonight as we're going to worship here in just a moment. But if you've never received your adoption, we want to do that. And next month as we talk about this more, we're going to be more some steps related to how we relate to the Father and see him, continue with this some. But tonight, why don't we, even if you have, let's just close our eyes for a moment. And let's do what every child does on Christmas morning. When they receive gifts they were given by their parents, all they have to do is open it up. All they have to do is open it up. Father, here we are tonight. And Lord, for any and every way where the image of who you really are has been twisted, has been altered, has made you to look like someone you're not, would you not only forgive us for thinking of you that way, but would you untwist all of that, remove the distortions, and help us to see you the way that you really are, as our Father, as the one who loves us and loves the world so much that you sent Jesus before we were ever born. Father, we want to see you for real, in reality of who you are, what you're like. We want to also have the prayer of Jesus answered in us, even tonight, that the love that he felt and lived in and walked in and knew every day of his life, that he prayed that we would know that same exact love, that we would feel it, that we would live in it, that we would know it. And I ask you even now, Father, that your great love that you love Jesus with, that same love would be felt across this room in every single life and every single heart and every single soul and every single mind, every single body, that your love would encapsulate all of our being and that we would feel the love that you have for us. Even now that we would feel and know, and we choose to reject all the false things about you, Lord. Even right now, we just reject all those things and false feelings that we thought you've had about us. And we choose to believe what your word says, that you love us, that you think about us more than there's sand, that you take pleasure in me, in my life, even in this moment, that you're crazy about us. We choose to believe that even right now. And then we also, according to what Paul said on three different occasions, knowing that we are sons and daughters, but that we can receive your spirit of adoption. We just open up right now. You said we could have this, and so we desire this right now. We open up and we receive the spirit of adoption, your adoption of us entirely. Receive his adoption, his spirit of adoption, even right now. Just receive it by faith. And Father, I ask for an encounter for everyone in here right now that is receiving this, that you would do something on the inside with their heart, with their being, with their soul, that you would cause a wholeness right now, a wholeness. Where there's been an emptiness, there would be a wholeness. Where there's been striving, there'd be rest now. Where there's been agitation, that there would be peace from this moment forward. Where there's been a wondering of, I'm not sure what he feels about me or thinks about me, that would cease from this moment forward, and we would know, they would know, we would all know that you are in love with us and you love us so much. We receive your love. We receive it, Lord. We can't earn it. It's impossible, but we receive your love and we receive your adoption. And we thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that even as we worship and through the night, even as we're sleeping, that there would be this growing knowing that we are adopted, that we are yours, that nothing can take us out of your hand, that we have a loving Father, that we are pursued, that we are desired, we are wanted, we have been paid for and purchased, and we're in this family. We are heirs, we are sons, we are daughters. My identity is not a servant of the king only. My identity is a son. My identity is a daughter. May that reality of that identity come complete, make its completeness right now in every single person. No more searching for approval, because you are the approver and you have approved and you are pleased with us. Lord, I pray for that to the very core of every person, even right now. To the core of every person right now. No more striving, no more religious activity, trying to earn something. But Lord, a sonship day, a daughtership day of knowing how much you love us. We receive it, we believe it, and we're thankful, Father. Lord, I pray that even on the inside, there would be this awakening and awareness that we have an Abba, Father. We've got a daddy, Papa. We've got a Papa. We've got a daddy. We've got a father. We've got someone who we're never alone and never not wanted, and never ignored, that we are loved. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you for making a way for this. And thank you for your adoption into this family. In Jesus' name, amen.